Hello, good evening and welcome to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council Planning Committee. My name is Brendan McKeown and I will be chairing this meeting. A couple of points for you before we start. If you have a mobile phone, please switch it to silent mode or switch it off. Thank you. And can I ask members of the public to refrain from commenting from the public gallery? On my right, I have officers from the planning department, and on my left, I have officers from law and administration department. Officers from the planning department will present each application as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated they wish to speak will have 3 minutes to speak, and I will give them the nod when they have 1 minute to go. Ward members have 5 minutes to speak, and the same applies, 1 minute to go after 4 minutes. This meeting is being recorded by audio and will be available to listen to all over again via the Borough Council website. Members of the committee are reminded that they do not enjoy immunity as that is enjoyed by our colleagues in government. And members may only deal with the applications before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. Having said that, we can now start the agenda proper. Welcome all. So, minutes of the previous meeting, anyone want to propose? And this was the meeting on the 25th of October, where we had the site visit. Anyone want to propose that those okay? Yeah, okay, good. I'll sign those afterwards then, thank you. Any apologies for this evening?
Councillor Kenny, who's substituted by Councillor Fordham, and Councillor Phillips, who's substituted by Councillor Beattie.
Thank you. Declarations of interest or lobbying to members on the committee? Councillor Spencer?
I did have a call in for the second agenda item, the red line, which I subsequently drew.
Okay. But you're not sort of predetermined?
I'm not predetermined.
Okay, right, thank you. Delegated applications will be circulated separately to members. So we then go to page 3, and the first application is 21/35275, land at former 5557 Sandon Road in Stafford. Is it Halloween? Okay. Right, so we have a bit of news on this one, don't we?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. It is apparent that the consultative responses in relation to this application don't relate to the latest amended plans. Therefore, I'd like to recommend that you defer consideration of this application for a further report, an updated report to be presented when the consultees have responded to the latest plans that we've received.
Councillor Frank James?
I propose we do that.
Okay, so anyone second? Councillor Cross? So to defer this application pending latest information, all those in favour of defer? Any against? No? Abstentions? No. Thank you. Move on to next application 21/33898, Red Lion Inn in Newport Road, Sutton. Application called in by Councillor Winnington and Councillor Spencer withdrew his call in. Okay.
Good evening, everybody. This application relates to a site located along the A519 in Sutton. The site currently comprises the former Red Lion Public House, car park and garden. The site is outside of a settlement boundary. The application comprises two parts. The first part proposes a change of use of the public house into a four-bedroom single residential dwelling. The second part proposes an outline application, an outline proposal for six self-built dwellings. All matters are reserved on this part of the application except for access. This part of the application proposes to create 6 plots available for self-build properties. With regard to policy considerations, the conversion of the public house would in principle be acceptable, however, the proposed changes to the building are considered to be unacceptable and objections have been raised by the conservation officer. In terms of policy considerations for the proposed new dwellings, the site falls outside of a settlement boundary. Now, whilst the proposal states that the dwellings would be affordable, the development of affordable housing must meet specific criteria as set out in policy C5 of the Plan for Stafford Borough to be considered as a rural exception site. In this case, the site is not adjacent to a settlement boundary and the application is not supported by a parish-based housing needs assessment. Furthermore, it's also noted that the council's housing officer comments there should be a direct link between the size and tenure of homes being proposed and the need identified. This part of the application is therefore also contrary to the plan for Stafford Borough. So if we just have a look through the plans, the first plan is a plan view of the site. We've also got an aerial view. You'll note from the aerial view that it's in a very rural location. Sutton is surrounded by open agricultural land. We've got 4 photographs taken from around the site. The first photograph looks across the pub car park towards the pub building. The second photograph is the front elevation of the Red Lion, which fronts onto the A519. And then photographs 3 and 4 essentially show the areas of garden land to the rear of the pub. It's not a particularly clear plan, but the first plan is the site plan, which shows an indicative layout of the site. So you can just about make out there's three dwellings shown on the land to the rear of the pub and a further 3 dwellings on land adjacent to a property called Aquaview. The existing pub building is shown within that sort of red edge part of the site. Plan 2 shows the proposed elevations of the pub. And plan 3 shows the floor plans of the proposed converted pub into potentially a 4-bed detached dwelling. Plan 4 shows illustrative elevations of the proposed new dwellings. As previously mentioned, this part of the application is outline only, so this would just give an illustrative example of what could essentially be built on the site. So to summarise, the site is outside the settlement boundary and the indicative layout and the elevation shown are uncharacteristic of the rural area. The principle of development is unacceptable. There's insufficient evidence of need and it is not considered that there's a demonstrable need for 6 houses in this location. Unsympathetic detailing for the proposed conversion of the pub, an inappropriate scale, layout and form of the proposed dwellings would also have a harmful impact to the setting of nearby heritage assets. There's also been an objection raised by the lead local flood authority who state that there's an inadequate drainage strategy. The application is recommended to refuse for the reasons set out on page 36 of the agenda.
Thank you, Sean. We have a objector registered to speak, no supporter. The objector is David Frost. Would you like to come forward?
Thank you.
Thank you. As I say, you have 3 minutes.
And starting from?
Whenever you're ready.
May I set a timer?
You can. I'll give you a nod when you've got 1 minute to go.
Fabulous. Thank you very much.
Okay.
We wholeheartedly agree with the planning officer's recommendations to refuse. However, we have 2 major concerns. Firstly, the planning officer's report does not include the current 11th of August 23 highways report, which strongly objected to the application. We hope this is just a clerical oversight and it will be corrected. Secondly, we strongly believe that the pub's ACV listing should be a material consideration and reason for refusal. In fact, we were told back in early 2022 that the planning decision was delayed waiting for the outcome of the ACV tribunal, so it's very surprising that it is not. Like many other pubs, the Red Lion was popular and profitable, but sold to developers for huge profits despite local opposition. There is now a huge rise in local communities taking action in purchasing local pubs to be run as community-owned pubs, and this has been at the heart of our campaign. We have comprehensive, fully costed business plans based on worst-case scenarios and more than adequate funding to purchase and renovate the Red Lion and bring it back to life for many more years to come. We want to provide many additional services, for example, farmers markets, local craft markets, mobile NHS and library services, spaces for local social groups, local play areas and a creche for children, electric car charging points, a recycling centre and obviously jobs. Getting our only community asset back would be of immense value to the most vulnerable in our community. It will be a place for friends and neighbours to meet and will provide opportunities for our younger generation to start journeys of their own. In his tribunal summation, Judge Simon Bird, KC, an expert in planning, upheld the ACV listing and said, "The local community has shown that it has sensible and practical proposals for the use of the Red Lion as a community-owned pub and how these could be achieved. We have spent 2 years and 8 months waiting for a planning application decision, and during that time, the developer has not been kind to our pub."
1 minute, please.
"There is substantial damage to the buildings and surrounding structures, trees chopped down and gardens. It is unsecured and exposed to the elements. There is a real chance of another crooked house. In a recent survey, 100% of respondents said that their social well-being has gotten worse since the Red Lion closed. Not having our only community asset has had a huge negative impact on the local community. All we need is the opportunity to purchase the Red Lion. However, this will not happen while the developers believe they have a chance to get planning permission. And there is a huge fear that unless this refusal is watertight, the developer will submit further planning applications and we may have to wait for many more years. Stafford Borough Council has done an amazing job approving and defending the ACV listing with considerable expenditure of public money. So for this effort to be meaningful, the ACV listing must be cited as a reason for refusal alongside the current highways objection."
Well done. Bang on the money there, time-wise. Well done.
Thank you. May I be allowed to can I please thank the members of the planning committee for your valuable time? I do appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Right. We've heard the officer report. We've heard from an objector.
Ward councillor.
What does ACV mean?
Asset of community value. All right. Would you like to have any debate on this?
You need the ward councillor.
Are you going to speak on this one, Mark?
Yes, that's the normal course.
Yeah. Okay. Right. I just haven't got you down here for anything. You have 5 minutes, Mark.
Thank you very much. I'm sure that's more than enough. First of all, thank you all for bearing with me on this. I realised that the application was down as refusal, and I fully support that. It was an adopting call in from Mike Smith, and I'm really pleased that you've taken on board the fact that the site's outside development of the hierarchy of the local plan. However, as with the previous local speaker, I'd like to bring a couple of issues to the planning committee. The reason for that is I would like you to take those issues away and possibly have a think about them, and the cabinet member as well, because I think they're fairly relevant and it would be a shame not to actually sort of highlight these. As you see on the front page, it does say that the original call-in was due for target date in 2021. Now, one of my gripes and that of the local people is that it is now 2023, as you're fully aware, and it's been 2 years for the property to be basically left to its own devices. There's been a little bit of vandalism, there's been water egress, and if the community get a chance under the community assets to buy it, I think it's highly unfair that it's taken Stafford Borough Council 2 years to actually do anything about this. We all know about the Crooked House at Himley, what's happened to that. It's in Staffordshire, it's in South Staff's area, not Stafford Borough, thank goodness. But I do feel that there is a trend, and I've seen it in my area, for pubs to be bought or taken on as businesses, left to go to rack and ruin, and then asked to be made into a residence or something like that, just as a money-making exercise. And I would like the cabinet member to have a think about that, because there must be something that can be done to stop this continual degradation of our community assets. And I don't want Stafford Borough to have a reputation for being the place where you can buy an old pub, let it fall down or get knocked down or burnt down or whatever, and then the community loses out, as it would have been the case here if there wasn't so much support from these good people that actually live in the area and value it so much. I think the turnout tonight sort of gives you a feeling about that. In terms of the report, I agree with the previous speaker. On page 28 on highways, it does say that highways have no objections on the 6th of July 2021, but it doesn't actually mention the fact that in the Form X of 11th of August 2023, there's a recommendation of refusal. So one of the things I shall be asking for is that should be added into the reasons for refusal, because we all know highways objection is basically a refusal. I think the other thing that again has been mentioned previously, this is a community asset. It was fought for by Stafford Borough Council, and that should somewhere within that report, even if it's just minuted from this meeting, should be taken account of the fact that it's a well-loved, and slightly sad-looking now asset that the local members feel. Anyone who goes to Sutton, there's a lot of traffic, a lot of bad driving, but in terms of the community, there is nothing there apart from the pub. And I feel so sad about it, what's happened and this, where we are today.
I could start wrapping up.
Yeah, no problem. So, as I say, there's two things I would like to be added to the minutes, or even more preferably to the decision notice. One, that there was a highways report, and that was one of the reasons for refusal. And the second one is that this is a community asset and should be mentioned again, as has been asked for by my colleague here and by the whole of the community. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Okay, do we want to respond to the highways first of all?
Yeah, we've just been checking, and unfortunately there is an error in the report. We do appear to have a format from the County Highway Authority dated the 11th of August. 17th of August.
Chair, can I give you a copy of that?
Recommending refusal. So essentially the Highway Authority have said the application should be refused for the following reasons. The submitted application fails to provide a scalable plan showing a red edge specifically from site A to the public highway. Also states that the application fails to confirm parking provision. It then goes on to say that the development does not constitute sustainable development. But that's something that we've already highlighted as part of report and part of the planning assessment. the third reason states the proposed development would exacerbate the risk of conflict between vehicles and pedestrians and cyclists due to no segregated facilities, partial street lighting on a busy rural road, unsuitable to cater for this sort of development. It states that there would be an increase in the likelihood of highway safety to highway users. So essentially they're saying that there's an insufficient plan for the first part of the application, and no parking for the first part of the application, which was the converted pub. They're stating that it's not a sustainable development, and thirdly stating that there would be highway safety issues.
Thank you very much. Anyone want to open the batting? Councillor Cross.
Yes, Chairman. Having gone through this report, I think the recommendations on page 36 of the report are just some that I've highlighted. Both residential development would be in the open countryside outside the sustainable hierarchy as defined in spatial principle 3 of the plan for Stafford Bury. The proposal conflicts with policy C5A and undermines the spatial development strategy set out in spatial principles 3 and 7 of the plan for Stafford Bury. The development is therefore contrary to policies N1, N8 and N9 of the plan for Stafford Bury and paragraphs 200, 202 and 203 of the National Planning Policy Framework. The development would be contrary to policies N1 and N8 of the plan for Stafford, and the development would be contrary to policy N2, the plan for Stafford. Added to the fact that with the amended highway refusal and the fact that it is a community asset, I would like to support the officer's recommendation and proposed refusal of this application.
Do you want to speak on it, Councillor James?
Yes. I'd like to pick up what Councillor Wellington highlighted on his previous speaker. This is an area which is well known for being a public house over the years, and I think if it was possible for the local owner, the local community, to take over this property, I know it's not a planning thing, but it would be very advantageous to the area and support the people who are living in that particular area. And I also point out that the flood warning about the site is a very serious thing, because the other houses lower to it could be brought into some terrible situations. So I support the proposal to refuse.
Okay, would anyone wish to speak any
yes,
more?
I think the two speakers have very powerfully made the case for the refusal, and I'd certainly support that. I'm not sure in my own mind, are there aspirations for it to be an ACV, or is it actually an ACV as we sit here tonight? And if it is refused, does that in legal terms strengthen the hand, or does there have to be still... When we leave here tonight, it will still be in the ownership of whoever currently owns it, and a refusal will not necessarily advance that situation. But I think that we can readily see the risks of a deteriorating building, which will have been of concern, and would seem a bit inconsistent with a refusal, because the implication is that if we refuse it, then Plan B comes into force, and it would have some money spent on it. So I think that we do need to somehow recognise that there is a degree of urgency about the restoration of this building, and for it to become an asset of community value in a real sense.
It's still on the register of an asset.
Yeah. So the fact that it's on the register of an asset doesn't really, because I know I've got experience of this in my own ward, where there is an asset of community value, but it hasn't helped the asset in any way. It's been in existence for 10 years, but there's been massive deterioration in relation to that asset. I'm talking about the Wedgwood Memorial College in Barlaston. So I think that we're looking for, in some way, for more than refusal. We're looking for something that will perhaps add pressure on the fact that this place will be coming back into what the community obviously wants.
Thank you.
This application, let me consider the application.
Okay. And you, as I understand, asset of community value means that the community gets first chance to purchase it,
yeah,
should
it
go on the market.
Be on the market
should go on the market, yeah. Anyone else wish to speak on this?
Chair?
Yes, Councillor
Reid.
I was
just to say that you know, the indication of the strength of feeling of the community, yeah, is evident, isn't it, here tonight?
Okay, so it has been proposed to refuse by Councillor Cross, seconded by Councillor Frank James. Two extra items, highways objection, was it?
Well, I think we need to be clear what we're refusing on, four reasons there.
Yeah. So on page 36 of the agenda, it does list the reasons for refusal as outlined by Councillor Cross. And then added to that was the highways objection.
Just recognition of the highways,
yeah,
objection.
And similarly,
and recognition that it's
asset of community value.
An asset of community value.
Okay, so we have got the first proposer and seconder. Two refuse, based on the reports on page 36 and those two additional ones. All those in favour of refusal?
Unanimous.
Unanimous, thank you very much. Thank you. So the application is refused. Thank you. You may stay if you wish to, or if you have more pressing needs.
Chairman, thank the committee for their time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Third item on the agenda, members. Is planning application 23/37948, Rose Cottage, Creswell Road, Hilderstone, Stone, called in by Councillor Francis Beattie. Recommendation is to refuse. Who's going to present this one? Tom.
Thank you, Chairman. This application is for the erection of two-storey extension to the front of the existing two-storey cottage. The property, Rose Cottage, is located on the edge of the highway and has its gable end adjacent to the highway. The cottage has previously been extended with a two-storey side extension. You'll see from page 40 of the agenda that the principle of development is considered to be unacceptable as the proposal is contrary to local plan policy C5, which requires that in areas outside of the sustainable settlement hierarchy, the extension of an existing building should not result in additions of more than 70% to the dwelling as originally built, unless the design and appearance of the proposed extension is proportionate to the type and character of the existing dwelling and the surrounding area. The original floor area of the dwelling measured 82.5 square metres and has previously been extended under 2010 and 2011 permissions, which resulted in an additional 82.55 square metres over the original floor area of the dwelling. This proposal seeks to add a further 54.8 square metres, resulting in a cumulative increase of 166.48% over the original floor area. The proposal will be over the 70% threshold provided for under policy C5C, and for the reasons set out in the character and appearance section, which is section 3 of the agenda, the design and appearance of the proposed extension is not considered to be proportionate to the type and character of the existing dwelling and the surrounding area. Local plan policy M1 sets out design criteria, including the requirement for design and layout to take account of local context and to have high design standards which preserve and enhance the character of the area. And the supplementary planning document on design states that significant extensions projecting forward of the front elevation will not normally be permitted due to their effect on the street scene. You'll see that on page 41 of the agenda, it's stated that the proposed extension would consist of a large gable fronting element of substantial width sited to the front elevation of the property. The proposed extension would not be set down from the ridge line of the main dwelling house, and in conjunction with its width would fail to appear clearly subservient. This would result in an extension which would dominate the front elevation of the property, appearing as the main architectural feature when viewing the principal elevation of the property. The proposed development would therefore not represent an extension which would appear proportionate and subordinate to the host dwelling house. And in addition, via its construction, the proposed extension would result in the loss of an attractive existing appearance of the principal elevation of the dwelling house. After the committee agenda was published, the agent submitted an amended plan last Friday, which has been included in the presentation. You'll see that shortly. That amendment reduces the eaves height and the ridge height of the extension by 15.5 centimetres. So that the extension would now be set down slightly from the ridge line of the main dwelling, but that does not make the proposal acceptable. So 15.5 centimetres is that much. It is recommended that the application be refused for the reasons set out in the agenda, which is, by virtue of the excessive scale and inappropriate position, the proposed two-storey front extension would appear as a prominent and incongruous addition which would dominate the front elevation of the property. The extension would cumulatively also result in a substantial dwelling house which would be unacceptable in the countryside. The proposal would result in a whole-scale change of the dwelling's appearance, resulting in undue impact to the architectural character of the application property. The proposal would therefore represent unsustainable development and cause undue harm to the character of the countryside, failing to accord with Section 12 of the National Planning Policy Framework, policies N1 and C5 of the Plan for Stafford Borough, and Section 8 of the Stafford Design Supplementary Planning Document. So, turning to the images now, you can see the application site, which is outlined in red, and that houses at the top end, the rose cottages at the top end of that site. Aerial photograph shows the same location. So there's four photographs, two taken on the highway adjacent and two within the garden of the property. So the first one is the view looking northeast, along Creswell Road towards Rose Cottage, and you can see from this quite clearly the proximity of the gable to the highway. Second image, taken a little further back along the road, is also looking in northeast direction, and this time you can see the extent of the property. Image 3 is taken from the garden, looking towards the front elevation of the property. And image 4 is taken from a similar position, but towards the left-hand corner. So if you remember from image one, the gable end that you can see there is effectively adjacent to the highway. Then you can see this hedge or shrubbery, which is the edge of the garden. In terms of the plans, just see if I can zoom in here. So in the right hand drawing there, the red is the extent of the extension. You can see how that relates to the existing dwelling house. So in terms of the elevations, the roadside elevation is the northwest one, so top row, third from the left, which is northwest elevation, that is the current. And what this proposes is the left hand image there, so in effect it almost doubles the size of it, the size of it from the, if you look from the side, the gable end. The front elevation is the southwest, so that is currently that one. And that is what is proposed to change it to there. Northeast elevation is the rear, so that effectively doesn't change. You can see there the in the top row is the existing, and the bottom row to the right is proposed. And then the other elevation is the southeast, which is the opposite gable end, the one away from the road, which is top left is existing. And below that is what is proposed. So moving on to the floor plans. Those are the existing floor plans, ground floor to the left and first floor to the right. And this is what is proposed. So it's the left-hand element on both the ground and the first floor that is the new. So you see there is a, I can't quite read the annotation, I think it's a study, home office, to the left on the ground floor, and above that is a fifth bedroom with ensuite, etc. So, Chairman, as I say, the application is recommended for refusal for the reason listed.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I have a supporter, David or Hannah P. Hannah, are you speaking?
Yeah.
Come to the table, please. You know the routine now, 3 minutes. I'll give you a nod when you have 1 minute to go. Thank you.
Thank you. During our 9 years of living at Rose Cottage, our family has expanded with 3 daughters, as well as caring for my elderly gran. This has made us realise that the 4-bedroom house isn't as large as it first appeared on paper. With ceilings only just over 2 metres high, no built-in storage, sloping ceilings upstairs, very limited loft space and no scope for outbuildings by a committed development, there is very little storage or living accommodation. The sole reception room means there is no scope to enable my gran to sleep downstairs, as there is no privacy without losing their only living room in the house. Nor is there space to create an office, which is key as we both work from home. To facilitate an office upstairs, our children would never have a bedroom each. Even with the extension, it will simply be a 4-bedroom house with a storage cum dressing room and downstairs just 1 reception room and an office. Whilst comfortable, it is far from the officer's suggestion of being excessive. Our design has been carefully thought out, avoiding any unusual unusable spaces such as corridors or extra stairs, which an extension east would create. We can't extend rearwards or west due to the boundaries. Therefore, conversely to the office's belief that the placement of the extension is inappropriate, it is actually the only place that the design is possible, logical, and with no wasted space. The proposed placement also offers the garden shelter from the noisy road, benefiting current and future inhabitants. The officer refers to the loss of character to the property, whilst also stating that, given that the dwelling is relatively isolated, there is no architectural character to uphold when considering the surrounding area, thus showing they have satisfied their own concern. The officer references the appearance of our house negatively post-extension, but this is subjective and you, the committee, are allowed to have your own opinion on whether the new design is attractive. Please also consider the unusual position of our house with the front elevation facing towards our garden in the way a rear elevation usually does, meaning an extension front or rear would still run alongside the road and be visible to passing vehicles. We would not want to lose the curb appeal of our house, and we feel the design is characterful and attractive, with the added bonus of orientating away from the road, which is the biggest downside of the property.
1 minute, Hannah.
Woodcutters, which is next door but one, has recently had an extension approved and completed of 183% versus the 166 we have requested. A total of 19 metres square greater than Rose Cottage will be if we get permission. How is this countryside dwelling not too large if our proposal is? Woodcutters' extension is comparable to our proposal with similar form and character and extension ridge heights matching the main dwelling. Despite this, after receiving the officer's report, we have amended the plan to lower our ridge height to appease their concerns of the extension dominating the original dwelling, thus dispelling the concerns that it isn't in keeping with the area or in terms of size or position. We would ask you to please strongly consider the fairness and consistency in decision making in light of this information. As a family, we are ingrained in village life. I am a volunteer on Hilderston Village Hall Committee, the chair of the PTFA of a local school,
not to mention the many friends we have
in the village.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
May stay there.
I don't mind.
This has been called in by Councillor Francis Beattie. As there is no support or objector, as I can see, so can I ask Councillor Beattie to come to the table? I don't need to read the rules out, you know what they are.
Yes, Chairman, I think you'd think that this was a footballer's mansion that we're talking about. It certainly is not that. It's a small cottage that is really looking for an extension that makes it livable for a family in the countryside. This application exceeds the 70% threshold. We all recognise that. But it would satisfy the criterion 2 of policy C5C, where the 70% threshold can be exceeded in instances where the design and appearance of extensions would be proportionate to the type and character of the existing dwelling and its surroundings, as is the case here. There's a clear precedent set by the nearby woodcutters, which has just been mentioned by Hannah, and this is a smaller extension. Woodcutters resulted in a 183% increase compared to the 176% proposed at Rose Cottage. The council approved a larger floor area and the design is very similar. It's just two doors up. The planning authority also approved extensions at Coton Hill House Millich. This property is also located in the open countryside, and that proposal resulted in the original dwelling being extended more than the 70% restriction. That was a 120% increase. Significantly, addressing the 70% limit placed on rural dwellings by policy C5C, the officer states that the design of the, in that case, in this Millich case, the design of the proposal is well considered, proportionate to the type and character of the existing dwelling, and it's not therefore considered that the proposal would result in harm to the character of the existing dwelling or the surrounding area. The principle of the development is therefore considered to be acceptable, subject to other material considerations being satisfied. That's a parallel case with a completely opposite opinion. The Coton Hill House scheme bears many similarities to the Rose Cottage. It's not located in the Green Belt. It's situated adjacent to the highway boundary, The extension would extend into the garden that runs parallel with the road, just as this, subservient to the original dwelling house with materials to match. Each case obviously needs to be determined on its own particular merits. However, it is clear that there's robust justification to demonstrate how the proposals for Rose Cottage, which result in a floor area percentage increase that sits between Woodcutters and Coken Hill, would have a design and appearance that would be proportionate to the type and character of the existing dwelling and the surrounding area, as required by the policy. There's no scope for a rear extension. The existing dwelling is in an unusual position, with its front and principal elevation facing towards the garden. The proximity of the highway and associated noise influence the position, form, and design of the extension. And when the officer says that it would be tantamount to a substantial dwelling house, which would be unacceptable in the countryside, I think that's absolute nonsense to say that you can't have a family-sized house in the countryside. Just doesn't make sense to me. We have a local couple bringing up their children in the parish, providing for a grandparent in this small four-bedroomed cottage. They're both working from home, and they're contributing to the rural economy and the community, preserving the carbon footprint. And if I've got time, I would suggest that the material considerations to approve it are that the design and appearance of the proposed extension is in keeping with and proportionate to the type and character of the existing dwelling and would not result in harm to its character. The size of dwelling would not be disproportionate to the rural area. The precedence of the council's approvals of a comparable scale extension at Woodcutters and at Coken Hill House, which are of similar character and appearance to Rose Cottage, are significant. The proposed design is high quality, its form and materials are in keeping with the existing dwelling. The proposal would incorporate the provision for home working, and the design would attenuate the road noise from this busy section of road and enhance residential amenity in this respect. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, well done. Okay, you've heard from everyone. Councillor Spence.
I can't disagree with the ward member with regards to its design. It appears to get the plans that this cottage is a south facing with its front elevation. I know this road, I know that property, it's quite very obvious build as you go across, and that is a front elevation, and this extension appears to obliterate, for want of a better word, the front elevation of the property and completely changes the character of the building. And the woodcutter house that was mentioned by the ward member and others, that the extension on that would to the rear of that property and maintained the front elevation of that property as was originally dealt with. At some point was originally designed. To me, this design provides no front elevation, no rear elevation. It's incongruous in its design to what's there now and what is elsewhere in that village. So for me, the design is not fitting the purpose.
Okay, thank you. Any other speakers at this point? Councillor Jones.
On the map on page 44, there are properties mentioned, but I can't see Woodcutters. Which one is it?
It's. I don't think it's on that map. I think it's further north, not by much. Bear with me a minute. Yeah, it's probably about just off the top of the page.
What is it? It's on the same side of the trees, you mean?
On the opposite, no, it's on the same side as Rose Cottage.
But above high trees.
Point of
yes.
information, it's two doors up, it's the next but one. On the north side. Round on the same side of the road.
Okay.
Councillor Frank James?
Yeah, I think, contrary to what Councillor Spencer said, I believe this is, we've got to look as if this council's being fair to the community. And I don't think we are here. We've got two planning applications that have been approved, and this is a smaller planning application. Yes, it's perhaps close to the road, but I think we should overturn the refusal and accept it.
Okay, are you proposing that?
Yes.
Okay. Right.
We need to have
some planning reasons for that. Yeah. In the meantime, anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Spencer?
Well, again, reiterating what I stated earlier, I cannot see, although it may cause issues for the design, maybe needs to be re-looked at to look at potentially an application to the east of the property to maintain the facade of that property. Yes, it may mean that the interior framework may need to be changed and the staircase needs to be moved, but I feel it would be a better option for the building that exists currently. And it would still allow for the property to be increased to the size that's required. But I think it's more sympathetic to the building.
Thank you. Councillor Corden.
Can I seek some clarification, Chair, from John on C5? I think I heard you say that there's a kind of normal limit for expansion over on the footprint of about 70%, I think that was quoted. Yet in 2012, there was an application permitted for an increase of 82%. So there must, I assume, be reasons that I think the ward member mentioned for allowing an expansion that would be greater than the C5. So it's more information on that than just to help me understand.
I'm not going to preempt what John's going to say, but obviously, if you have a very small property, 70% of that is not a lot. If you have a large property, 70% of that is a lot, and it may be something to do with that.
Then we have set ourselves a boundary of 70%, and we're saying that actually we're not always going to abide by that, it seems to me. I just need to understand why and where the exception will come in.
Okay, so the original floor area was 82.5 square metres. And then the approvals on the 2010 and 2011 permissions added another 82.55 square metres. So in other words, at that point it doubled. Now, those permissions were prior to the local plan policy that we've got now.
Okay.
Now, the local plan policy says extension or alteration of an existing building should not result in additions of more than 70% as originally built, unless, and then there's two categories. One is if it's less than 41 square metres, which clearly it's not, and it wasn't originally. And two, the design and appearance of the proposed extension is proportionate to the type and character of the existing dwelling and the surrounding area. Now, in terms of...
Excuse me.
Can I make the point that...
Is it a point of clarity?
Yeah, the point is that the point being made is that the internal area, the floor area, is much smaller than the external area. So you have to take that into account rather than the external figures.
As I was saying, if you look on the fourth from the left at the top, it's looking at the front elevation, and you can see how that's been extended in the past. And you can see there's an extension with the ridge line drop to the right. There you go. So that, although that was prior to this policy, I think you could quite easily come to the conclusion that that proposed extension was proportionate to the type and character. It looks pretty similar. It looks subservient, etc. But what we've got today is not looking at the same type and character, in my view.
Thank you. Councillor Nixon.
This 70% rule, unless it's a provision, a C2. What's the limit then? Is it absolutely limitless? So long as you can say it's proportionate, can you go to 200%, 300%? What's the limit?
Well,
because it seems to me there isn't one here. Seems to me there's no limit. If you can say the design and appearance is proportionate, it's limitless, the amount.
Yeah, the policy doesn't specify an upper limit if you consider it to be proportionate to the type and character of the existing dwelling and the surrounding area.
Well, to be honest, it's pointless having a 70% rule then, isn't it? I mean,
no.
It blows it out of the water, really, if you can go to any.
I think if we try and focus on this one.
Because this is more than double the increase now.
Here before us. So.
Yes, it's what you've got now is double what it was before. But, as I said in relation to Councillor Fordham's question, that's proportionate. Proportionate to the type and character of the existing dwelling.
Councillor James.
I think we're losing ourselves here a bit, because those of us who remember many years ago, a lot of the properties were little two-bedroom cottages and blah, 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 and 70%, you couldn't even put a toilet on the side of the house. We wouldn't get into this measuring thing, I think, but here we are, we've got a property here which is not in close proximity to anything else, and I believe we should accept it.
Okay, obviously if you go against the officer recommendation, we need to have reasons for that. Anyone else want to speak? Tease out anything else? Councillor Fordham?
I think we've heard woodcutters mentioned on a number of occasions. I had a quick look at that. It seemed to me, and I could be wrong, I stand to be corrected, there were three recent planning applications there. The last of which I think was approved, but the previous two were declined, refused. I don't know if anybody has any knowledge of why, whether it came down to the same reason. Was C5 in force there at that particular point in time, 2016, 17 and 18, these were?
So, in anticipation, I looked at the 2017 application for woodcutters, which was two-storey rear extensions and garage conversion. So looking at that, in the officer's report it said, woodcutters is a relatively isolated dwelling set back 8 metres from the adjacent highway and accessed via a long access drive. The property comprises gabled roof, a dormer windows and front elevation has an elongated rectangular footprint. The dwelling is visible from the public highway with a high hedgerow forming the boundary between. And then it goes on to explain why it's considered under that application that it was proportionate to the type and character of the surrounding area. So I know it's Councillor Beattie's referred to it, but apart from the fact you need to consider each application its own merits, then clearly that's not on the edge of the highway and it's in a different situation, albeit it's not far away from this particular property.
Councillor Spencer.
I think also going back to the woodcutters, and I'll just mention it again, the extension of that property is to the rear and does not affect the front elevation. I think that's the main concern, certainly that I have on this. Where is the front of this house now? If you were delivering a letter to this house, where would you go? It's changed its form almost entirely, and especially as its principal elevation is on the road and can be seen by all passers-by, I think it really degrades that property as it currently stands, and it could be a design could be significantly more sympathetic if put to the side, like the original application from when it was extended previously.
Councillor Nixon?
Having listened to all this, I think the main issue here is that it's got to be extended to the front, because there is no provision to extend it in any other direction.
Correct.
And I think that's what we ought to consider. Are we going to allow this because it's at the front? Is that such a big issue, because it's at the front, that we should refuse it?
Okay. It's obviously the view of the officers that its position and design is the reason for refusal. So I haven't had anyone second anything just yet, as far as I'm aware. I know Councillor Spencer has been proposing refusal. Councillor James has proposed approval. What do I do?
I think what Councillor Jones. The Chairman is that I listen to the fact that there are two applications very close that have been approved in terms of percentages over the allowable 70%. Some of them increased beyond what this one is looking for. And I find it difficult to reconcile those two approvals with the request here that they should be refused on the officer's recommendation. I find it very difficult to reconcile those two positions.
But I think as planners are saying, that the other applications were somewhat detached from the highway.
Yes, I understand that.
Yeah. Okay.
So Councillor James has moved to approve, but he still needs to set out the planning reasons for that approval, and there still needs to be a seconder. So if there's no seconder, then it doesn't proceed any further with the approval.
Okay. Do I go to ask Councillor Spencer if he wants to propose the refusal based on the officer's report?
I would propose to refuse on the officer's report at this time, yes.
Anyone want to second that proposal? It'll be a long night.
Chairman, to move forward, I will second Councillor James's proposal to approve. If he can come up with a satisfactory reason that won't set a precedent for others.
I'm going to have Councillor here, because she studied over very well early on, and she would help me on that.
Am I allowed to give them to him? I just suggest.
Sorry, isn't it?
No.
No, not really.
Well, I've read this report, and on page 42, the officer satisfied the proposal not result in any technical breaches of local planning authority and the amenities guidelines, and the proposal is acceptable in the terms of residential amenity. Was that not correct?
I understand what you're saying about residential amenity, but if you need a planning reason to overcut, well, to effectively explain why it's either you don't think it's contrary to policies N1 and C5, or you think they're not relevant or something like that. Because the debate is not about residential amenity, it's not overlooking any properties or anything like that.
Yeah, I realise that. That's why I pretend to.
So that's got nothing to do with the reason for refusal.
No, I do not see we can't have been any of the planning designs or.
Page 43.
Chair, can I just bring to bear page 43, section 1, which is reason for refusal, excessive scale. Inappropriate position of the proposed development.
Okay.
policies N1 and C5, and that's the reason we're discussing, not the immunity, which has been agreed. There's no issue with the immunity. It's the section 1 of page 43, reasons for refusal, we need to be talking about.
Councillor Fordham, did you indicate?
Yeah, I was going to say, in response to Councillor James, that the issue is indeed that, as I see it, the recommendation under paragraph 1 on page 43, and the issue really is that second sentence. At the moment it says the proposal would result in the wholesale change of the dwelling's appearance, resulting in undue impact on the architectural character of the property. Proposal would therefore represent unsustainable development and cause undue harm. So if you'd have to reverse that, I would guess.
Can we have conversation this way? Thank you.
Sorry. Going to item for recommendation of refusal on 43, I'm asking us to read from 1, recommendation refusal 1, that we reverse that.
So you don't believe it causes any harm in accordance with the policies?
But what you need to elaborate on that, you can't just say where's the evidence?
Well, I don't believe it does. I don't believe this refusal is contradicted to the development of this property. Is that all right?
You're disagreeing that it's not excessive scale and inappropriate position.
Yeah, so further back, but I don't think it conflicts with the policies N1 and C5 of the Plan of Stafford Borough. Does that help? In section 8 of the Stafford Design.
Okay, right. So,
can I ask a question, sorry, Chairman? Was our design consultant consulted at all? I can't see anything in the report.
I don't think so.
No.
We don't consult the design consultant on all the applications, because obviously we get 1,200 a year, so he tends to look at the larger scale developments. Yeah.
Page 43, character and appearance is referenced there. Okay, so we've had a proposal to approve.
Does Councillor Nixon agree with the reasoning?
Could you just repeat the reasoning again? I'm going to
go through it again. Yeah.
Councillor Spencer, while that's happening.
I'd just like to reiterate my motion to refuse, should anybody wish to second.
Can't put a motion to refuse forward while there's a motion to approve on the table.
That's why I seconded it, to move it on, so we can get to
a vote. Are we moving in the right direction? That's the question. Okay, so do we take a vote?
I think Councillor Nixon wanted clarification on the reasons that Councillor James put forward. And I think for the minutes we need clarification.
Have we got enough?
I think Councillor Nixon's waiting for you to clarify what the reasons are.
Well, my reasons are that I believe that we... My personal reasons are that I believe that we're not being fair to the community here, and that we should be playing it accord with the section 12 of the National Planning Policy Framework.
Sorry, did you mention policies N1 and C5 as well before?
Yes.
And section 12. Is that okay with you, Councillor Nixon?
Not really, no.
Well, do you want that?
Because we're saying that it does conform to policies where it clearly doesn't. So I would be more inclined to go for the one where it says policy C5 about 70%. unless at provision C11 or II, whatever that is proportionate to the type of character of the existing building, and it says surrounding area, and we've got the ones that have previously been mentioned that are over the 70%. I'd be more inclined to use that as a reason, because I'd only set a precedent where people are going to now ask for 200% increases because this one's gone through.
Are we happy with that, Mr?
Just, can you just repeat that, sorry, for the purposes of the minutes?
It's on page 40, third paragraph on. It says they contribute C5, which is the 70%, unless at provision C11, whatever it is, the design and appearance is proportionate to the existing dwelling and the surrounding area. Well, we've already seen the ones in the surrounding area that have been increased more than this one.
Are we okay with that?
Yeah,
okay. Okay, as long as you understand what you've taken the vote on, which is to approve subjects. So please show if you wish to approve this application. Those against?
2, 3. Are you voting?
Yes, I've got to vote for refusal.
You're so voting against approval?
Against approval, yes.
Excuse me, Chair.
Sorry, that doesn't take enough of me.
So
it's 5-4.
To approve.
To approve. So, thank you for the debate. The application is approved.
Sorry, do you want to do abstentions?
Any abstentions? One. Councillor Reid. Okay. Thank you very much.
I apologise, perhaps, to leave earlier. Do you mind if I speak?
Okay. What do you need to speak about? We've already spoken about that one.
It's
been deferred.
It's not been dealt with.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we go on to appeals on page 45. Anyone, any comments?
Chairman, just to point out that the...
Please, if you are going to speak, leave the room. Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Just to point out that on the decided appeals on page 46, the third one down, the appeal decision that follows is at Stafford Rangers Football Club, but it's not in relation to electric charging points. That application was approved. The application that was refused and the appeal was allowed is for a large television type screen along the boundary of the site.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Anyone got any other comments on any of those appeals and reasons for? Councillor James?
Point, Chairman, is it this television site in the ground itself?
No, it's on the road side.
It's on the road side.
Yeah, it's on the boundary at 90 degrees to the road.
And that's been refused.
It was refused, but the inspectors allowed it on appeal.
Yeah.
I note on page 45, the one in my ward, 11 Trinity Course, that it appealed the enforcement notice. This is the one where he had a
cabin,
20-foot container, and then built a large structure over it, which then leaks water into the garden of 11 Shelmore Close, which is situated behind. And he also dug out the hedge, if I remember right, and gained a few feet that way. Yeah. Mm. He's a bit of a...
Don't say anything.
Crack on that jump, yeah.
Okay, so we've got 45, 46, something like 47, and then the actual dialogue behind the appeal decisions. 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, and 62, 63. And thank you very much. That's the end of the meeting. Thank you for your attendance and your input.
Just mention that. Yeah. So just before you, members, just before you go, the next committee is scheduled for 3 weeks today. At this point in time, we're down to a single application. However, before that date, we need to have a special planning committee meeting to consider a large-scale major application, one where we have a site visit. So what I'm attempting to do is to try and pull the two together so you don't have two separate meetings for a single application each. So it'd have to be a daytime meeting because it involves a site visit. And we're looking at dates the week after next at the moment.
Oh, good, I can make that. I couldn't make the work for one of the
15th. We'll circulate.
Yes, yeah, the 15th. This is the 14th or 16th.
Yeah. 14th or 16th of November.
16th, there's a civic funeral.
I know. It's likely to be the 14th, but we haven't confirmed that yet.
No, nobody's available on the
16th. No, it's Chris Barron's funeral. So it looks like 14th.
But we'll confirm that.
Yeah. Okay, check your diaries and we'll see you then.
Could I ask you to confirm?